these innovations in tools and schools make the opportunity for people to learn worldwide better every single month.
I'm Catherine Mangy Ward, and I'm here with Reason TV today. We're speaking with Tom Vander Ark, who's the CEO of Getting Smart, and one of the people you want to talk to about the future of online education. Tom, thank you for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Tell me about this future of education. Where are we headed? What's next?
Well, we've seen this explosion in mobile technology, so learning is becoming mobile. It's also becoming modular. But for most kids, it's still going to happen at a school down the street. And so we're starting to see really interesting combinations of online learning and face-to-face learning. People call that blended learning. So learning is becoming blended, it's becoming personalized, and increasingly competency-based, which means kids show what they know and they progress based on mastery.
One of your projects has been to kind of incubate, encourage, and fund early education ventures. Can you talk about, I think for some people, you know, that seems like there might almost be a tension there, like you're trying to make money on education. Explain why that's the wrong way to think about it.
So I left philanthropy about 8 years ago, a little bit discouraged about the 400 nonprofits that I had worked with. None had really achieved their full ambitions. And the sector had almost no R&D. There was just very little investment in innovation. And compared to other sectors like healthcare, which is also a public delivery system, where there's a dramatic amount of research and development and really important contributions by the private sector, that hasn't been true in learning. So what's happened in the last 5 years is that billions of dollars have been invested in startups that are building new tools. And it's really these new tools that are powering new schools, new learning environments that have the potential to work much better for students and teachers.
Get specific for me. What's something that you've had a hand in, directly, indirectly, it doesn't matter?
So one startup is Edmodo. It's a social learning platform. It's used by about 45 million teachers and students worldwide. Makes it really easy for teachers to make and manage assignments. Another one is Coursera. It's used by 10 million people worldwide. It has free access to the best professors in the world. ClassDojo, a behavior management system used by 35 million teachers and students. All these resources available for free to teachers, and that's why they've really gone viral worldwide.
So now you're kind of on the tech side. You started your career as a superintendent. Can you talk about, I find when I'm sort of talking to people who have developed a super great new tool or an app or something, and they're like, the tech is perfect. All we have to do now is get it integrated into the schools. This should be no problem. And it's always like, oh God, you have no idea how hard this is going to be. You know, as someone who's kind of been on both sides, you know, what is it that people are missing? Why isn't there greater, faster uptake of some of these good tools?
Well, one exciting thing I can report is that it is happening. These free and viral tools are being adopted by teachers worldwide. So there's kind of a new backdoor to the classroom. Teachers are, and parents and kids are finding these tools and putting them to good use. So, you know, more than a third of America's classroom have these new tools. Teachers are finding them. Kids are bringing their phones to school. Really cool things are happening from the bottom up. And then we're also seeing superintendents and school networks being really thoughtful about investing in technology, so improving student access to technology and helping to create new blended learning environments. So some thought leadership and a lot of teacher leadership and then parents helping to hack their own kids' education. So it's coming from the bottom, from from outside in, and in some places from the top down. So this is happening faster than most people think.
Yeah, I don't listen to your answer. I almost want to believe you. I almost want to be optimistic about it. But I mean, isn't the status quo still basically that the vast majority of kids are told, you know, they can't even have their phone at school? Most
that changed.
Don't have
that
Wi-Fi.
Changed last year. Last year was the first year where the majority of school districts dropped their ban on cell phones and at least left it up to teachers on whether and how to use the technology. So it's happening really fast. And you know what happened in 2010, tablets came in. We've seen since 2010, the price of devices has plummeted. Broadband has become more ubiquitous. Most parents have a smartphone, so most parents, even low-income families, are connected to the internet. So the digital conversion is happening fast.
You also have been involved with the XPRIZE folks. Talk about, just kind of in a general way, why do prizes work, and then more specifically, how can they help education?
So today, I at the conference, I spoke about why prizes and pull mechanisms are so attractive. The main reason is you can't really mandate innovation, and we need innovation in learning because the opportunity set is so great. So what states can do is use prizes and other sort of demand aggregation strategies, incentives, to encourage innovation. So they can give new school grants, they can create innovation zone where innovation can happen. They can put RFPs for new capabilities that don't exist. They can run prizes for new data systems. And those kind of strategies invite the world to work on your problem. And that often works much better than trying to mandate a solution.
Do you ever get sick to death of the word innovation?
No.
Every day, you just love saying that word?
I love it, and I'm convinced that learning is the most important thing for individuals, for families, for communities, for countries, and the really exciting thing is that these innovations in tools and schools make the opportunity for people to learn worldwide better every single month. And right around the corner is the chance to educate every young person on the planet. We're really close to being able to create low-cost blended environments so that the 500 million young people today that don't have access to really good secondary will be able to have it. And that's five, not more than 10 years away. And that means where politics allow, there'll be no excuse for not giving every kid on the planet the chance to plug into the idea economy. I think that's a big deal.
Last question. This morning we heard from Jeb Bush, who may or may not be running for president. Would you vote for Jeb Bush? And if you did, what would you want to see him do?
So Jeb was, I think, the best education governor that we've had in the last 20 years. I've had the chance to work with Governor Bush and his team for the last 4 years. He has gotten even better on education issues. He has an informed and intuitive sense about the opportunity set that I'm excited about. And for that reason, it's been great to work with him and his team.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking a minute to talk with us today. For Reason TV, I'm Catherine Mangy Ward, speaking with Tom Vander Ark, CEO of Getting Smart.